We recently wrapped up a seven-week series on the Lamb, and then the first Sunday of the month we had a guest speaker and evangelist. Last Sunday was Mother's Day, so we're not in a series on Sundays right now. Wednesday nights we are. We're going through some of the prayers of the Old Testament, but and then, of course, as been mentioned, next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. But today I felt strongly to come to this service and simply preach faith and healing. Amen. I want us to consider the question of the Lord in Jeremiah 32:27, when the Lord spoke to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" That question was in response to Jeremiah's prayer in the previous 10 verses, which began this way. He said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. You show loving kindness to thousands. The great, the mighty God, whose name is the Lord of hosts, you are great in counsel and mighty in work, for your eyes are open to all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. You have set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt to this day and in Israel among other men. And you have made yourself a name as it is this day. You have brought your people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and wonders and with a strong hand and an outstretched arm and with great terror." And everybody said, amen. On this day, Sunday, May 17, 2026, God is no more or less as mighty, as powerful, as strong, or as good as he was in creation, in the great flood, in the exodus from Egypt, in the parting of the Red Sea, in the miracles in the wilderness, in the fall of Jericho, in the conquest of Canaan, in the defeat of Israel's enemies, in Isaiah's vision, in Ezekiel's valley, in Daniel's dream, in the incarnation, in the feeding of 5,000, in the healing of the blind, the deaf, the lame, in the cleansing of the lepers, in the raising of the dead, in the calming of the storms, in the casting out of devils, in the multiplied miracles of sickness, disease, and issues of blood, in the death, burial, and resurrection, in the outpouring of his Spirit, in the miracles of the apostles. God is no more or no less as mighty, as powerful, as strong, or as good now as he was then. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, "I am the Lord and I change not." James 1 says, "In him there is no variableness, no variation, neither shadow of change," right? He's as powerful now as he's ever been. He's as mighty now as he's ever been. He's as good and merciful now as he's ever been. Before the earth was ever formed, before there was a fish in the sea or a fowl in the air, before there was a blade of grass or a fruitful tree, before there was a beast of the field or an insect on a leaf, before there was a garden of God or a couple to care for it, he was and is the Almighty God, and he's as powerful now as he was then. At the risk of redundancy, it is his will to heal. It's his will to bless. It's his will to work no matter the mess. Amen? He is still Jehovah Rapha, the God that healeth thee. He is still Jehovah Jireh, the God who will provide. He's still a blessing God. Amen? Moses said, "The Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and with an outstretched arm, and with great terribleness, and with signs, and with wonders. The Lord said, I have made the earth, the man and the beast that are upon the ground, by my great power, and by my outstretched arm." Isaiah said, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy, that it cannot hear." Amen. His hand can never be shortened. His arm can never weaken. Amen. His ear can never go deaf so that he cannot hear.
Then he said, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, and there is no searching his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that has no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen? Deuteronomy 33:27 tells us that God is your refuge, and underneath you are his everlasting arms. Job 42:2 says, I know that you can do everything. Matthew 19:26, with God all things are possible. Luke 1:37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Amen. Daniel 4:35, he does according to his will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, what have you done? He will work, and who's going to stop him? Miracles and healings are not outdated or outmoded or obsolete. They are not a relic of old. They did not end at some point in the past where God said, it's over, no more miracles. Miracles end where faith ends. Miracles end where trust in God ends. Miracles end where believing ends. Amen? But God is faithful. He has not changed. Only people have changed. Deuteronomy 7:9, the Bible says, therefore know that the Lord your God, he is good. Oh, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. There's only one God who is faithful in every situation and in every circumstance. There's only one God who will be with you in the good times and in the bad, who is dependable in every circumstance, who gives meaning to your life, whether you're rich or whether you're poor. There's only one God who will be with you at the moment of death, who will bring you safely into eternal life. He is the faithful God, and he has not changed. You can trust him. He'll never let you down. He'll be there in the good times and the bad. He'll give you the assurance of salvation. He'll make a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. He'll help in every situation. He'll help in every circumstance if you trust him. We can trust him because he is the faithful God. If you come to God wanting to repent of your sins, you can. If you come to God wanting your sins to be washed away, and they can be washed away in his name in baptism. If you come to God wanting to be filled with the Holy Ghost, you can be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen? If you're hungry, if you're thirsty, if you have a repentant heart, if you call out to God with sincerity, and if you seek after him with all your heart, there is a guarantee that he will hear your cry. He will touch you at your point of need. He stands ready to forgive you, to deliver you, to save you, and to heal you this morning. If you've made up your mind that you want to be saved, you can be saved. If you truly want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, you can be. If you need a miracle, you can receive a miracle, because he is the faithful God. Not only is he the faithful God, he's the faithful physician. Isaiah said he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with or by his stripes we are healed. Amen? Isaiah said by his stripes we are healed. That was prophetic. That was before the crucifixion. After his crucifixion, the Apostle Peter would later write, by whose stripes you were healed. Amen? Your healing has already been established. It's already been procured. It was finished on the cross. I can imagine the scene in heaven as they watch what unfolds on earth. Jesus is tied to that flogging post. and with the weight of every blow from the powerful arm of the Roman soldier. As the whip that cat o' nine tails hits the Lord's back with a sickening pop, and the strands of leather reach around to his sides and opening the flesh more and more each time, until the pop turned to a wet, squishy, suctioning sound as blood poured. I can see the fury on the face of the angels. They want to attack and easily end this. Maybe they're saying, why are you allowing this, Jesus? You could call a legion of angels and we can stop this. I can imagine Michael and Gabriel are told to stand down. Stay back. This is my plan. I must do this. With every stroke of the whip, with every stripe that is made, with every drop of blood that pours from my body, I will save and I will heal. This blood is for the remission of sins. And from these stripes will flow healing virtue for my church. Amen. So let the soldiers be. They're only fulfilling scriptures. They call it punishment. I call it redemption. They call it hell. I call it healing. Oh, thank God for the blood. And by His church, you are healed. It's already done. It's already procured. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Our human nature comes from Adam. We naturally lean towards sin and worldliness. But with the discipline of prayer and obedience to God's word, and the help of the Holy Ghost, we exercise restraint. Amen. Likewise, our bodies are naturally bent towards sickness and disease and eventually death. As with the spiritual, so with the physical, we must be disciplined in what comes into our bodies. Amen. If I live on a daily diet of donuts and junk food, or alcohol and drugs and smoking and all of those things, and if we don't eat the food we should eat, if we don't exercise discipline in our lives, the chances of sickness and disease are greater, right? But in the Apostle John's third and very short letter, he said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." It is the will of God that we be healed and be blessed. Amen. But that doesn't mean that I can live any old way without discipline and then expect God to undo everything I do every time it gets me in trouble. No. Yes, yes, He is faithful to forgive, and yes, He's faithful to heal. But at some point, I've got to have discipline in my life. Amen. In other words, my faith must have some actions on my part. The Bible says, what good is it, my brothers, if someone comes and says he have faith but doesn't have works? So also faith by itself, if it doesn't have works, is dead. Just as the Apostle Paul said, should I continue in sin because grace abounds? God forbid. In other words, should I continue doing what I'm doing? Should I continue in sin because I know God's going to forgive me because His grace and mercy? No. He says, God forbid. Amen? Likewise, should I continue to defile my body because His healing grace abounds? God forbid. Amen. Nevertheless, our bodies are already inclined to sickness and disease due to our inherent fallen nature, which is why, second to salvation, God's will is to heal us. God's will is to touch our bodies. Amen. God's will is to rid us of sickness and disease. And so Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases. Amen. Psalm 147 and 3, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Solomon said, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and medicine to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your increase. Then your barns will be filled with plenty. It's His will to heal. It's His will to bless. Jeremiah said, oh, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. And through that prophet, the Lord said, "Behold, I will bring health and healing. And I will heal and reveal the abundance of prosperity and security." And it's not just physical healing that we need. In Isaiah 57, the Lord is speaking of those of the one who is backsliding in the way of his heart, and said, "I have seen his ways, but I will heal him. I will lead him and restore comfort to him." He's a good God, and he's merciful. Amen. He's faithful. Oh, hallelujah. Even the one who is in that backslidden state can be healed. Oh, God is reaching. God is reaching. God is reaching. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. He's a faithful God. He's a good God. He's a blessing God. And he's the healing God. Matthew 8 is one of many in the Gospels that give us one miracle after another of Jesus. He had just concluded his famous Sermon on the Mount and come down from the hillside. The Bible says the multitudes followed him. That is, until a leper came up to him. A leper, not a leopard. One who has leprosy. I imagine that multitude scattered like roaches when the leper came up. But the leper knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. You weren't supposed to do that. But he's God, and he's good, and he's merciful, and he touched him, and he said, "I will, I will, I will." And so if you come in this house this morning and say, "God, if you will," he's saying, "I will, I will." And immediately his leprosy was clean. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus goes on a little further into town, and a centurion come to him. He said, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And Jesus said, "I'll come and heal him." The centurion replied, "Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word. Only say the word, and my servant will be healed." Because I know, God, I know that all you've got to do is speak it. You don't even have to be there. You don't have to touch him. If you just speak it, he'll be healed. And Jesus said, "I haven't found such faith in all of Israel." And to the centurion, Jesus said, "Go, let it be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed that very moment. Jesus left the centurion and went to the home of Simon Peter. When Jesus entered Peter's home, he saw that his mother-in-law was sick with fever. And he touched her hand. The fever left her. She rose. That evening they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. After healing all those sick, Jesus gets into the boat to sail overnight to the Gadarenes. When he got into the boat, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great storm on the sea during the night, and so that boat was being tossed by the waves, but he, Jesus, was asleep. And they went and woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we're perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, O ye of little faith?" He arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm, and they marveled and said, "What sort of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Oh, hallelujah. That next morning when they landed on the shore of Gadara, Jesus was met with two demon-possessed men whom all people feared, and he cast the demons out of those men, healing their minds, and turned and went home. Amen. As soon as he got back to Capernaum in chapter 9, they brought to him a paralytic man lying on a cot. And Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven." How could he say that? The critics said, "How can he do that? How can he say that?" Because he's God. And then he said, "Arise and walk." And the man got up and walked home on his own two feet. And all the people marveled. A little while later, a certain man, Jairus by name, came and knelt before Jesus and said, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live." And Jesus rose and followed him with his disciples. But then behold, a woman who had suffered from an issue or a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she had said in her heart, if only I can touch his garment, I will be made well. And Jesus turned and seeing her said, take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well. Instantly the woman was healed and made well. Oh, hallelujah. When he came to the ruler's home and saw the flute players in the crowd making a commotion in mourning, he says, go home, get out of here, go away, for the girl is not dead but asleep. And they began to laugh at him. But when the crowd had been put out, he went in the home, he took her by the hand, and that little girl, life came back into her body, and she rose. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. And when Jesus left there, two blind men followed him crying, have mercy on us, son of David. And he entered the home and the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? And they said, yes, Lord. And he touched their eyes. According to your faith, he said, let it be done to you. And their eyes were opened. Oh, hallelujah. And the Bible says Jesus went out through all the cities and villages, teaching in synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. And he healing every disease and every affliction. Oh, hallelujah. Remember what he said, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Oh, praise God. Oh, God, there is nothing too hard for you. In Mark 9, Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to those who believe. In Luke 11, he said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And to the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, it will be opened. In Matthew 17, he said, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. In Matthew 21, he said, if you have faith and do not doubt, even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, it will happen. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive it if you have faith. Amen. Oh, clap your hands and give him thanks and give him praise. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank the Lord, thank the Lord. Coming to a close in a moment, but here are some facts of faith. First of all, faith does the impossible because it brings God to undertake for us, and nothing is impossible with God. Second thing, how great without qualification or limitations is the power of faith. Three, if doubt be banished from the heart and unbelief made stranger there, what we ask of God will surely come to pass. Amen. Only God can move mountains, but faith moves God. Faith is obedient. It goes when commanded. Faith acts like the man who was born blind. It goes to wash in the pool of Siloam when told to wash. Like Peter, it casts the nets where Jesus commands instantly without question or doubt. Faith takes away the stone from the grave of Lazarus. Faith keeps the commandments of God and does those things which are well-pleasing in His sight. It asks, Lord, what will you have me do? And answers quickly, speak, Lord, thy servant hears. Faith is called upon often to wait in patience before God and is prepared for God's seeming delays in answering prayer. But faith does not grow disheartened. When prayer is not immediately answered, it takes God at His word and lets Him take whatever time He chooses, trusting and believing Him for the miracle. Amen. Trusting and believing for the miracle. Let's stand. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. every Sunday. Every Sunday. I can't even remember for how long. During the praise and worship, after a couple of songs, one of our ministers comes up. One of us will come up here and we'll read a scripture, maybe say an encouraging word, and we'll invite people to come. And I noticed just something happened in my mind a couple of weeks ago. Just so many of us coming forward at that point, not just at the end of the service like this at the altar call, but at that point, at that moment in service. Service has only been going on a few minutes. We've sung a couple of songs. But so many will come to this front and pray. And the ministers and I will, our ministry team and I will go through the crowd trying to lay hands on people, praying for you and all of that. But for some time now, I go back to my seat and I just thank God for all of those who had the faith to step out and come to this front. And I say, God, whatever it is, I can't reach everybody. I can't get to everybody. We can't all get to everybody. But God, whatever it is, I pray, touch their body, touch their sickness, that disease, that situation, that circumstance. Amen. And so just last week or so, again, same thing, watching this, and just in my heart, I said, God, there's got to be healing in this place. There's got to be healing in this place. And so when I sat down and began to think about today, that's what the Lord spoke to my heart. Just simply faith and healing. Amen. Just faith and healing. That's all you got to do. Just preach faith and healing to my people. And so that's where we are. And so I want to ask you to come. If you got a sickness, a disease, or a pain in your body right here, right now. I rapidly ran through scriptures this morning, but I hope that some of these are able to get a hold of your heart and help build faith and help increase your faith this morning. And I know that I don't have healing in my hands, okay? Only He's the healer. None of us have healing in our hands. Amen? And so we can't possibly just lay hands on everybody here. It's not the point. The point is the healer is here.